We are down to the final 8 teams. Wow. 40 teams have been eliminated. 83% of the tournament is gone as of the quarterfinals. And speaking of percentages, our friend the supercomputer is back to embarrass all of us and get everything correct. The supercomputer who famously got 42 out of 48 group stage placements correct. Man, we'll preview each matchup, see what the computer has to say, and give our thoughts there. Cool? Allons-y. Les Bleus taking on the Atlas Lions, France versus Morocco, an absolutely delicious meal of a matchup here. After two knockout matches where France were relatively untested, they absolutely will be tested here. Because of course, Sweden was easily brushed aside by France. A 3-0 that could have been 8-0, you know? Could have had 5 or 6 goals just in the first half alone, 12 shots on target to Sweden's 3. Mbappe, Olise, Dembele, Barcola, all of them running wild out there. In the next game, it was only 1-0, but we all know how insane that match was against Paraguay. It's difficult to play against a team that doesn't want to play football. It's a tactic to employ, sure, and it makes things difficult for the opposition, but Paraguay offered 0 going forward, hence it was a relatively easy test for France, despite the tight scoreline. There wasn't a lot of danger. Well, wasn't easy violence-wise. They got beat up a bit, but thankfully nothing that leaves anybody out of this matchup. Meanwhile, Morocco had a difficult time against the Netherlands, going all the way to a shootout, and while they won 3-0 against Canada, there were some scares along the way, a bit of sloppy play and trying to play out of the back at times, but being ruthlessly efficient in the attack. 3 goals from 5 attempts, 60% of their attempts were goals, which is the highest conversion rate by a team in the World Cup since 1966. Now that's both a good and a bad thing, right? Good in that efficiency such as that is obviously fantastic. You can't ask for something better out of your attackers when it comes to burying most of, you know, every single chance you get. But also bad in that Morocco generated just 5 attempts against Canada, a team they should be outplaying on the pitch, and having that same kind of efficiency simply cannot be leaned upon in future matches. That is very, very difficult to replicate, and up against a better defense, the chances they get won't be as clear-cut, you would think. The backline and midfield is a very big upgrade on Canada's. Top 10 most shocking statements, I know, but even with Tchouaméni potentially being out, France's is still way better. Where Morocco have shown themselves pretty well is in their defending. They packed the box well against Canada and against the Netherlands. They conceded just 6 shots total, 2 on target. That's really quite good. The flip side of that is that France's attack is really, really, really quite good. Olise has gotten better with each match. Mbappe has looked bright and rapid once again. Plus, he's willing to take on players and looking good doing so. He's setting up teammates. Then you have Dembele, Barcola, Doué, Cherki. Nightmare situation when they are making changes. You cut off one head of the Hydra and 2 grow back. Or at least just one. So the midfield battle will be very, very interesting. Bouadi has been a baddie. El Ainoui has been great as well. Just ahead of them, Unahi has been superb. While Rabiot and Manu Kone have been good for France, but this will be a strong test for them. Morocco's attack, at this point it's unclear if Saibari's tournament is finished or not, but Rahimi has shown throughout this tournament that he is also a huge threat. He has 2 goals to Saibari's 3. He has 1 assist to none for Saibari, and Saibari has played 385 minutes. Rahimi has played just 129. So Saibari not playing, yes, that's a loss, but Morocco's attack is by no means ruined. So what did the supercomputer say for this matchup? It gives France a 59.2% chance to win this by full time, 22.9% chance of a draw at full time, and 17.9% chance of a Morocco win. I think that's maybe shortchanging Morocco a bit, as an upset would be a surprise in that France was no longer part of the tournament, but Morocco as the culprits wouldn't shock anyone, if that makes sense. But yeah, I agree with the machine. France to go through. España and Belgium. Perhaps not the greatest version of either team in this moment, but there are still impressive things about each team. Belgium, for me, was on the ropes against Iran and Egypt in the group stage, and they dealt a smacking to New Zealand, as one would expect, as the lowest-ranked team in the tournament. Shout out Elijah Jess, though. He really made a name for himself. But yes, Belgium looked mediocre in the group stage, then required a massive comeback and a bit of a crumbling from Senegal to stay alive, and against the USA, they pretty much coasted to victory. What I really admired about Rudy Garcia's decisions in that game, and I say this as a Rudy Garcia skeptic, is that he trusted the guys who got them to the round of 16 to start in the round of 16. He left Doku and De Bruyne on the bench and let the guys who replaced them start against the USA, and they looked all the better for it. Now, a lot to be said of how bad bad the USA were, but Belgium did their thing. Charles de Ketelaere with 2 goals, Lukaku with another goal off of the bench with his weak foot, Van Aken with the weirdest goal you'll see at this tournament. One thing that is a massive loss is Amadou Onana, who unfortunately tore his ACL and will be out for months. Poor guy, what a horror to have to endure. So that offers up a problem to Rudy Garcia for him to solve. What do you do in the midfield? Do you drop Tielemans to a deeper position alongside Raskin and play De Bruyne as the attacking midfielder? Play 307-year-old Axel Witsel? My guess would be the former. I mean, you do have Van Aken as an option as well for a deeper role, so we'll see what he goes with there. It seems likely that Trossard and Luka Bakio will start on the wings, that sounds a bit crazy, leaving Doku on the bench once again. Doku up against Pedro Porro on one side, Luka Bakio on the other, but then Trossard is where? Tucked behind the striker? I don't know, could do. Sorry for hitting the mic. Spain, however, their starting 11 is much more defined, I would assume. We'll see Baena on the left, Oyarzabal through the middle, Yamal on the right, though perhaps Luis de la Fuente would drop Olmo for Ferran Torres through the middle alongside Oyarzabal. Spain improved in the attack when he was on, though he may want a paradigm shift later in the second half against Belgium if he needs it, so save Ferran for that. But the midfield, everyone knows how good they are in there with Pedri and Rodri, but the big strength has been Spain's defense. Unai Simon has only had to make 6 saves this entire tournament, and 2 against Portugal were very, very tame efforts. Not a single goal conceded by this defense in this tournament, and the partnership of Cubarsí and Laporte has been fantastic. Cubarsí, in particular, looks unbelievably good when he isn't playing Flick's high line. Still 19 years of age, does not play like it. So the supercomputer has Spain at 55.7%, a draw at full time at 22.9%, and a Belgium victory at 22%. I think the only way Belgium advances is if Courtois plays one of the games of his life and the midfield can adequately protect their back line, hoping to grab a goal on the counter or something like that. But even then, it will be very tough. So Spain to go through for me. Norway and England. Norway has been focusing on their Viking roots as part of their PR during this World Cup, which will certainly have all of the English players thinking back to the years of 793 to 1066 when the Vikings swept over the British Isles. Surely they'll remember. Generational fear in their DNA. Anyways, Norway certainly has swept through this tournament. When they have played their first team, they are undefeated. As mentioned in a previous video, there's not much you can take from that match against France where they made 10 changes to their starting 11. In their round of 16 matchup against Brazil, they looked really good. Yes, Brazil were wasteful, which was a bit of a let-off for Norway, and they perhaps should have been punished far more by Guimarães, Endrick, and Casemiro, and whomever else, but they defended fairly well. That's all I'll give them, is fairly well. And for everything else, Nyland had an answer for Brazil, and Brazil had a blunder in them. Nyland had, by the way, doesn't have a club currently. His penalty save, he says, energized Norway and inspired them in that match. So I'm sure he'll be picked up this summer. But the midfield is quite good, namely Martin Odegaard and Patrick Berg, the Bodo Glimt man in particular, I think, is really showing well for himself compared to expectations. Similarly, I do wonder if Sjeldrup has played his way into the starting 11, as he has as many assists as Odegaard at this point after setting up Haaland twice against Brazil and getting one against France as well. Nusa isn't a bad option though either, as he showed against the Ivory Coast. But obviously the main man is Erling Haaland, who has scored in Norway's previous 14 matches, scoring a total of 27 goals in that time frame, which, if you ask me, is not bad. Not bad. He's also scoring at a rate that rivals just Fontaine's record from the 1958 World Cup, where he set the record for the most goals at a World Cup with 13. Fontaine had 8 in his first 4 matches. Haaland has 7 in 4 matches. So he had 2 goals from 4 shots, the second of which was a rude strike, and I'm not talking Van Nistelrooy, but the first, he had his way with Gabriel. Absolutely no competition with a nice header there. Against England's back line, he'll be facing his teammate Gehi as well as Konsa, potentially John Stones at some point as well, former teammate, and you would back him against any of these guys right now, as England's defense hasn't been airtight, especially with this new problem at right back, with Reece James' health being uncertain again, unfortunately, Jarrell Kwanzaa getting a red card against Mexico. You gotta appeal it. Keir Starmer. Appeal it. But they are in great shape across the pitch. Otherwise, Harry Kane is in absolute world-class form, as has been Jude Bellingham, who is playing the best football I've seen from him in the last year or so. He's hustling all over the pitch. He's gliding past players. He's arriving late in the box again, as he was doing when he was at his peak. He's a goal threat. He contributes on defense. He's a leader. Just a massive key to England's success. Tuchel challenging him a bit to raise his levels has seemingly worked. Rice as well. Stunning player, and a midfield with Rice and Bellingham in it is pretty unfair. England were put through the ringer at the Azteca, becoming the first team to ever defeat Mexico at the Azteca in a World Cup match, which is not something you should undersell or underplay. But they also showed that they can suffer, which is important. If they get pinned back, they know how to drop and defend and grind out a result if they have to. I believe that Haaland will score against this England back line, as again, it is not impenetrable, but I don't know that they will keep England off of the score sheet. Supercomputer has this one at 24.6% Norway, 22.4% draw, and 53% England, and I believe that England will win as well. But it's going to be tough. Our final matchup, defending champions Argentina versus Switzerland. Some called them a dark horse at the beginning. Those people would be correct. Anyone smell an upset here? Let's get into this. Because of course, Switzerland are a side that is incredibly frustrating to play against. They are incredibly disciplined and well organized. And if you do find a way through their defense, well, through the midfield first and then their defense, you then have a great keeper in Gregor Kobel to contend with. And he has been in fine form in this tournament. There was always going to be a bit of an air of anxiety when you no longer have Jan Sommer back there, but Kobel has been great in this tournament so far. Great shot stopper. And ahead of him, the partnership of Nico Elvedi and Manuel Akanji has been really, really good. Elvedi in particular is playing fantastic football in this tournament, the Gladbach legend. He's quick, he's strong on the ball, he's strong aerially, he's not nice to play against, just in general. Switzerland also can boast a tremendous midfield with Granit Xhaka seemingly never getting old. He has the street smarts to deal with any midfielder. He reads the game exceptionally well, and his pass execution. I mean, he has a wide range of passes he can pull off, short, medium, long, in the air, on the ground, doesn't matter. He has really impressed me, and I mean, just look to his importance for Sunderland and their fantastic season. That's a great endorsement enough, right? He also has Remo Freuler out there right next to him, formerly an Atalanta baller, now playing with Bologna. They are certainly on the older side, but they have youth around them too in this team. Manzambi, should he be healthy, will be out there, and he has been one of the big revelations of this tournament. Plus Ndoye, Vargas, Reader are all dangerous. Mbolo can be dangerous as well. He's good for a few goals per tournament, so they will be hoping that he hasn't used them up already, because that's the big weakness for Switzerland, in my opinion. Yes, they scored a few against Bosnia and Canada, but against stronger teams, they labor a little bit. And without Manzambi, I would worry a little bit. Argentina, however, their weakness for me is their defense. There are big, big problems with their back line, as they allowed Egypt to counter through them as if they weren't there. They are susceptible to the counter. And this wasn't to say that Egypt are like bad or something, so it's more shocking. Not at all. They proved that their attack is great under Hossam Hassan, but Argentina previously could pride themselves on how they defended. Remember how good their defense was coming into the 2022 World Cup. Well, it wasn't bad in qualifying for this tournament either, but clearly at this tournament, they are having issues. 4 goals conceded in the last 2 matches alone against Cabo Verde and Egypt. That is both a defense problem and a bit of a midfield problem as well. It was in part, you know, game state specific, as Argentina were looking for a goal, but or a few goals actually, but they were getting countered before that as well. So that is something to watch. That said, their attack is obviously sublime, and they have a Lionel Messi who is playing out of his mind. At 39 years of age, he scored against Egypt. He got an assist against Egypt. He almost had a wonder assist as well against Egypt after that mazy run that Lautaro couldn't finish off. Messi's broken Maradona's assist record at the World Cup with 8 now. He's playing unbelievably well, and he's doing so while the other strikers and attackers are having difficulty finding their form at this tournament, Lautaro and Alvarez in particular. He's also doing so while being tragic at taking penalties. He is 4-for-8 in total at the World Cup. That's wild. It is time to pass on the duties, Lionel Messi. So, what does the computer think? They have Argentina at 57.6%, a draw at 23.4%, It's always around there. And Switzerland at just 19.1%, which sounds a bit off to me. But I mean, who am I to argue, right? I think that Scaloni will sort the defense out a bit and have a plan to make them less susceptible to counters, I would assume, at least. I think Argentina will be in the semis once again. So if all of this was to happen, then curiously, we would have France versus Spain on one side and Argentina versus England on the other, exactly how FIFA wanted it. Remember how they said they would separate those four nations in the bracket so long as they each won their group? Well, the big four could be in the final four. It kind of ruins the surprise. It is like a diet version of match fixing. Anyways, guys, long video. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, why not drop a like, as it really helps out the channel, or comment below with your picks. Do both. I appreciate you, and I'll see you in the next video. Take care.